disappointing answers if you're wanting to buy someone something is they say, well, you know, I don't know, just anything is fine. And you're saying, man, I was looking for something more specific than that. Like when I was a little kid, I could get out the catalog, go through the catalog, pick out all the best pictures, things I wanted. And I helped my parents a lot, get the model numbers, colors, sizes, brands, you know, like a month in advance. I get the good things. Well, at this time of year, a lot of people have Christmas trees, not everybody. But I think we know what it is to have a Christmas tree and many gifts under the tree. Becomes kind of a symbol of Christmas. That tree had pagan beginnings, origins, kind of like the days of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or days or the months of the year, January, February, pagan beginnings, but that connection was lost a long time ago. Now, to believers, Christ's birth is the key of the Christmas season. Christ, the babe in the cradle, and the sinless life of our Lord, and then the great gift of eternal life that comes through God's Son. God's Word refers to the cross many times as a tree. Have you noticed that in Scripture? It's X-U-L-O-N in the Greek. Tree or wood, anything associated with wood would have that reference. Well, let's look to the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for that tree. We want to thank you, Lord, for your gift. I want to thank you, Lord, for what we have. We have everything because we have you. And Lord, we pray you'll just draw us closer to you this morning. How we want that. God, one of the most desperate feelings in the world is when we just sense something of an apathy within ourselves. We know the fire's not as hot as it ought to be. We want to fan the flame, so we cry out to you, bring back the zeal. Increase the love. Well, that's our prayer this morning, Lord, to increase our love for you and our reverence for you and our appreciation for the cross, for the gifts of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always interesting. I got this old Bible that got wet a long time ago in New York inside my pickup, but the pickup leaked, and so the pages are wrinkled. And then, top of that, I have all this stuff in here, but I want to look up some scriptures with you. Acts chapter 5 and verse 30 tells about the tree. Just takes me a little longer to get there this way. Acts 5, whoop, can't read either, get the right chapter here. Acts 5 verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Chapter 13 in Acts, verse 29. Here we read about Zulon, 5:30. But God raised him. Let's see. 13:30. Should have written 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. Then over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, there's another reference here. How we love this verse. It tells us so much. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes he were healed. And of course in the Old Testament also the Messiah is related to a tree as a shoot or a branch, as one that would grow out of a stump that had been cut down. In Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1, he's like a shoot or a coming out of a branch or out of a stump there from the tribe of Jesse. And then Jesus is the branch of the Lord, or God's servant, the branch. And in describing bringing life to the nation that way. And so We want to think about the fact that God has his own Christmas tree. It's never decorated with lights and ornaments and tinsel, that kind of thing, but it has nothing underneath of perishable gifts. But under the tree of the Lord is the blood of his Son, imperishable, in its infinite value. So how does a person get the abundance of the Lord from the tree of the Lord, the gift of the Lord? Let's look at God's Christmas tree. When we think about God's Christmas tree, imperishable gifts, I'd ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Here we read, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." So if you have no money, God invites you to come. And do we really understand the gift of God? In John chapter 4, verse 20, here Jesus answers, or verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." So who has this water? The living water, the gift of God. Now turn to Revelation chapter 21. Here we want to stop at verse 6. 21:6. "And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely." Comes from the Lord. That's how the gift is offered. So we think about the Christmas tree, God's Christmas tree, that's the cross. And the tree is a great gift from God. And so one thing we want to be clear about, it's by grace. Everything's by grace, freely from the Lord. No religious rites or no morality of our own, nothing we have ever done, it's all from the Lord. Think about the fact that this is a gift from God. Have you ever had a gift with your name on it? Christmas gifts, I mean, it's like an outpouring of love as you remember each other. You don't just go to the mall and say, "Man, I just got to get something for this person." Rather, you want to say, "I want to get something for this person that this person really needs or this person really wants." And so, in fact, some people are hard to buy for. Back in Canada, I didn't know what to get my kids, and so I'd give them money. Give them quite a bit of money, and they liked that, and that worked out real well. They were happy and I was happy, and I wanted to get them something good. It's hard sometimes to think like a kid, and as well as I knew them, I didn't know what they'd like best. I didn't want to just ask them. I thought, well, this works out real well for them and for me. Now, I'm hard to buy for. My kids and Irene have gathered together and they bought me a new computer. Those computers are messing me up. This morning I got a new computer, so I was doing my work on there. I was trying to change the work from that computer to another computer. That computer would, my desktop would not read it. And my other laptop takes about 15 minutes to turn on. I couldn't get the thing to turn on so I could print off my message. And how frustrating. So here I'm over there in Sunday school classes. We're taking prayer requests, you know, highlight. I like to, you know, review things I've studied, so I at least have a little bit more comprehension about what I'm talking about. But they got me that computer. I needed that computer. That one that takes 15 minutes to turn on, man, that is frustrating. And then it doesn't work right when it is on. So, you know what? We like to receive gifts, but more, don't you like to give gifts? That's what we love to do. And so here's how we can spoil the whole thing. If I get this computer and then I get out my wallet, checkbook, and say, "I want to pay you for this." No, that's a gift. No, I insist. Here, take the money. I want to pay you. That'd be confusing and offensive. They paid for the gift. And so the awesome thing about this is we have received the most amazing gift as you remember the birth of our Lord. And it's got a little sticker on there that, where it says from. It's from God. And where it says to. Friend's got your name written there. Because he loves you. Don't insult God thinking you have to pay for that gift. After he has given his own son to pay for the gift. You might think about, you know, the gift you need most. Some a lot of people think about a raise or a job or, you know, peace in the family. It's amazing some people have no peace in their families. But they try hard for it, but it just, there's struggles all the time. Or maybe physical healing. Or some people have been hurt so bad. And even after they've given it to the Lord and they've lived for the Lord many years, there's just something stirring down there. And certain things bring it to mind again. It's an emotional healing. Man, it's deep. It hurts. Others say, oh, man, I need a house. A lot of people would say, a lot of lonely people in this season would say, I just need somebody to love me. A lot of great needs. But the greatest need of all the world is the gift from God to you. It's got your name on it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son. The free gift, eternal life. God wants us to give it to us, this life. So the fear of death is gone. We don't have to lie our head on a pillow at night with that gnawing ache and fear, like if I die in my sleep, where will I wake up in eternity? That nagging is gone. We all want to go to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. That's what you find out there. I think that's why a lot of people take my track. It's about heaven. Yeah, they want to go to heaven, so they read tracks. But a lot of people are going the wrong way. They don't know how to get there. They think they have to pay for the gift by being a good person or, you know, being part of the one true church and religious exercises. This verse tells me the wages of sin is death. What do we earn? What do we have to offer? Our part of the gift. Sin and death and hopelessness. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We deserve the death penalty for disobeying the laws of God, trying to run our own lives. A lot of Christians do that. They're still out there trying to run their own lives. The Son of God has carried the death penalty for our sin and died upon the cross. So God's Christmas tree of salvation, it's absolutely free to us. But it's never cheap. It costs God everything. Cost the Almighty God. See, you look at God's Christmas tree, and you think about God's tree, the greatest gift of God, and then how God's tree, this gift, the application, the benefit is received through faith. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the benefits of the tree. The benefit is imperishable, a gift that never dies away, that lasts forever. We've all sat around a tree of some sort and anticipated with joy, you know, some kind of gift. Now I'm a man, and I act like a man. I'm even dumber than most guys. So when I get some complicated gift from a Christmas tree or any other way, I just try to put it together. My wife's a lot smarter than me. She would read the instructions first and try to figure out, you know, how to do it right. Well, God expects the same thing from us. He gives us this eternal gift. It's available to us. We must read God's instructions. We don't just try to, you know, match it all together with our own comprehension. What does God say? And so turn, please, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I want to spend some time there. It's a great chapter, and we want to look at some of these gifts under God's tree. The gift of justification. Verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, justification is a legal term that refers to sinners before the judgment bar of God, condemnation for our sins. But instead of being condemned guilty, judicially, God says not guilty. So we are acquitted from the penalty of sin. Now, what else do we have? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the peace of God is what removes the hostility between us and a creator, a holy God that has separated us from him. Removed by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Now, we think about what we have in this world, a world struggling for peace and problems with governments and terrorism, failures, absence of money for programs, and that kind of thing. But the greatest problem is not that. The greatest problem is, before Calvary, we are enemies against God. Enemies at enmity with God. So we need the peace. We need this peace of God. And that solves everything. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and receive in hope of the glory of God. Now the Greek word here means to have access or to approach, an introduction. Now some are out there, they're praying to their saints. Yeah, they might not even be saints, but they're praying to them. And they're praying to Mary. But Paul says there's one God. And one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. We pray to Jesus. And then Hebrews tells us what? Come boldly before the throne of God. Enter into his presence. Through Christ, we have access, my friend, into the presence of Almighty God. Wow, what a lot to remember. What a lot to praise him for. Until you receive God's genuine Christmas tree, we don't have access to God because we come solely to God through Christ. Solely through Christ. Only through Christ. And think about this. The gift of hope and the glory of God. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And don't we rejoice? Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we are not without hope. The world around about us is struggling for hope, but we, as Christians, we see it falling apart too. But we don't panic. We don't have to panic. We've got this gift. We consider the times we live in, you know, there's terrorists around and that kind of thing, but we don't lose hope because we're not without the ultimate answer, which is glory to God, you know, just headed for heaven. So we've got this glorious kingdom of resurrection bodies coming before us. And without anybody to attack us when we pass from death unto life. Also consider this, verses 3 and 4. The gift of what? Triumph over tribulation and troubles. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And so we have this marvelous gift. We want to unwrap the gift, right? We want to receive the Savior. We want to embrace him as our own. But then, you know, it's like a lot of Christians, you go, I don't know if they're saved or not saved. I think one of the cruelest things a person can do, knowing the Lord, live like you don't know him. Then you die and pass into eternity, you're fine to go to heaven. But your family back there on earth is scratching their heads like, man, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just so troubled. I don't know if, you know, Uncle so-and-so is even saved. How selfish to live like that. Not only to other people, but especially to God. Christians need to embrace the gift. Don't leave the gift on the shelf. Fail to experience a joy. Fail to live in the light of God's glory. And understand, we are just aliens down here. This is not home. These are temporary assignments from our King. And then also, see verse 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so, here's the gift of God from the Holy Spirit. This is the love of God manifested toward us. You know, God sent his Son. So God's love, you know, removes the fear. You think about the sin of your past, you better know how bad that is. God's love, God's sufficiency removes the shame, the guilt. We don't live there. Forget the past, Paul said. We have meaning in our lives. We have the indwelling Spirit of God. We have God's unconditional love, the abundance of His grace. Also, verse 9, we see, you know, here's what? More of the gift, deliverance from wrath. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We don't worry about Armageddon. We don't worry about dying in our sin. We don't worry about going to hell. We don't worry about the devil taking us down, because the wrath here refers to the judgment of God poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. In fact, it relates back to verse 8. Terrific verse about Christ died for us. Delivered. Delivered. Won't we want to shout it for eternity? Delivered. Amen. From wrath. Praise God. Verse 10. If when we were enemies, reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So here's the context, and that which follows. We're delivered from the wrath of God, from the power of sin. We have the power to live victoriously in our lives and over dominating habits. Somebody said if our greatest need was information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. That's preposterous, isn't it? We don't need technology. If the greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, a lot of people think so, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, and so God has sent us a Savior. You think about verse 2 here. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we rejoice in the hope. We rejoice, verse 3, in our tribulations. And then here we rejoice in triumphant, joyous confidence. And so Paul is writing here about, you know, boasting. You better not be proud, better not be boasting about, except about one thing. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, I boast in the cross. I'm boasting in the cross. I'm extremely and unexplainably, eternally impressed and expressing and telling others about the cross. What a small package if we're just kind of boasting about ourselves. The older I get, the less I understand that. Like, what a bunch of wasted time. Just to be proud about ourselves and who we think we are. Yeah, you wake up with a toothache in the morning, like I've been doing. I'll probably get it pulled this week. It's like how frail we are. We need the Lord. No matter who you are, you need the Lord. So Paul is writing about boasting. But what do you boast about? The triumphant work of Jesus Christ. Boast in Him. And so here's God's grace and God's gifts to us. Comes through the tree. And we boast in God, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. So we unwrap these presents, and don't you love it? God's present to you is backed up, not by your performance, but by the faithfulness of God, the promises of God. Unconditional gifts of God, not because of who we are, but by Christ's gifts and grace. So we unwrap this present, backed up by the faithfulness of God Himself, finished work of Christ on the cross. God declares our justification. God is satisfied. The holiness is satisfied. God gives a gift that will never break and never wear out. In fact, the gift that will last for all of eternity. And so these are the things that we enjoy from under God's Christmas tree. And we have all of this, just like we're thinking about this morning. We have all of this through Calvary. God, we thank you this morning for Calvary. For that determination from eternity past before he ever made the universe. Second person of the Trinity was going to come to a little rebel planet, die upon a lonely hill, bear the sins of a wicked world, raise again from the dead, and then one day call his children home to heaven. And God, we're just leafing through the chapters of time and kind of pausing through the chapters that, well, the chapters mark life. We're here in life. Nobody's chiseled our final day upon our tombstone yet. The angel may be licking his lips, preparing to blow, but the archangel's trumpet has not blown yet. We're not home yet. We're full of anticipation. Thank you, Lord, for that most genuine Christmas tree you gave your son for our sins. We thank you. We praise you. We want to live for you. Lord, if there's here this morning somebody who's never accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, never applied the benefits, we pray this day. There's no excuse. Why not this day? Should not be the day. There's no benefit by putting it off, but everything to gain by making this the day of receiving your Son. And Lord, for us who know you, we just want to put this gift on the shelf. We just don't want to act casual. It's a casual generation. The world is full of apathetic people. And a lot of those apathetic people are Christians, been bought by the blood of Christ, but they have nothing within them with resolve to want to serve you and live for you, be faithful to what your word clearly explains. God forbid that that should be true of our lives. How far away until we stand before our judge and our Savior and look at the nail prints in your hands. We don't want to be shamefaced. We want to give you praise. So we thank you, Lord. We ask you to draw us close. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that 125, Lyle?
I believe it is.
Turn, please, to 125 in your hymn book. And with this, we can say, hey, joy to the world. Joy to the world. Because the Lord has come. Let's stand together as we sing.
Time of Christmas. We thank you so much for that. We thank you that we can look back